New York's Nash FM 94.7 cares about our community. We're talking about issues that matter to you and your family. This is Nash Matters with Tiffany Marie.
Today we have the Executive Director of Companions for Heroes, Eric Basick, and we also have a retired Army Sergeant, Michael Gallardo, here with me. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you for having us.
Tell me a little bit about Companions for Heroes.
So Companions for Heroes is a nonprofit started by a U.S. Air Force veteran, and I think it's worth sharing his story quickly to let you know kind of how it got started. But so the veteran's name is David Sharp, and David came home from serving overseas, and one of his friends, a close friend of his, committed suicide, and that veteran's wife called David and shared the story, and she was obviously upset and terrified. And she had a young child, and, you know, David was really upset by the whole thing. It really struck home, I think, more so than his actual time overseas. And he went over to the house to help her kind of reconcile her things, and the remnants, so to speak, of the suicide were obvious in the bathroom. And that really hit home with him. And so when he went home, he took his father's 45 caliber service pistol. His father was in the military as well. And he sat down and made the decision to end his life. And took the barrel of the pistol and put it in his mouth. And just as he was about to squeeze the trigger, he had a rescue pit bull, Cheyenne. And Cheyenne walked up behind him and got up onto his lap. And he said the dog literally licked away the tears from his eyes. And it was enough for him to pull the pistol out of his mouth, put it on his lap. And the dog sat on his lap and kind of looked up at him like, hey, you just rescued me. Now let me rescue you. And it's not like the movies. The recovery wasn't that instant. It wasn't like, hey, now I'm healed. But he, that was a turning point for him when he realized, like, hey, you know, my life matters, and my life matters not just to me. Look what I've done. I've saved a dog. And that's where he was inspired to use, you know, the power of animals to help other veterans like himself who might be struggling with thoughts of suicide.
Now, I know that a lot of listeners don't get to hear about a woman's side of the story. Can you tell us a little bit about Dave's wife and her story?
Yeah, it's not a popular topic, right? We talk about military sexual trauma. They have an acronym for it, MST, right? Because maybe saying the word sexual trauma, maybe saying those words is a faux pas. We can't say, we don't want to admit that that actually happens in the military. But the truth is, it does happen, and it is a major problem. And David's wife was the victim. And, you know, in the same way that a dog can help a veteran feel more comfortable in crowds and in public, that same benefit can be applied to a woman who has issues trusting men. Yeah, believe it or not. And again, this is ignorance or being naive on my part, but I didn't even expect it. And then suddenly I would start getting these applications from women and going back to Vietnam. And I'd read through their application and, you know, they were the victim of sexual assault. And it just kind of continued past Vietnam and into their civilian life. And here they are 30 years, 40 years later, finally asking for help. And not on their fault. They didn't know these resources were available. And they found out about us and applied. And here we get to help, you know, women that are dealing with these issues as well. And I think that's a pretty amazing thing.
I think that is because a lot of women probably feel embarrassed and they don't want to have the conversation.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I own a gym. We do CrossFit and we do Krav Maga. And Krav Maga is a self-defense, right? And a pretty terrible statistic is about 1 in 4 women, according to RAIN, which is a nonprofit for these kind of statistics. 1 in 4 women is sexually assaulted. And that is a terrifying figure. And to think everybody knows at least 4 women in their life, and the odds are one of them has been assaulted. And in my experience, when we start teaching this, and especially when you have women-only classes, and they start to confide in you, and you earn their trust because you're there to help them, you find out that, like, it's almost every female member of my studio. It's crazy, the number of women that are assaulted. And here we have that happening in the military, a very male-dominant environment. And you know, they're afraid. It's a faux pas. They don't want to come to their supervisor. Maybe people don't believe them. The same problems you have in the civilian world, you have in the military, except there's probably even more, I'm just guessing, not being military myself, there's more of that, like, you know, command structure and that rigid, like, you can't admit that happened, and who are you going to go to? And so now they are able to go to a civilian in a nonprofit and seek that help, and we're there to provide it.
What you do is, I think, remarkable and incredible. Now that the listeners heard the founder's story, how did you get involved with Companions for Heroes?
So I own a CrossFit and a Krav Maga studio in New Jersey, and my wife works for a charity called the Yellow Ribbon Fund, and it's a pretty good charity based out of Walter Reed, pretty much at Walter Reed Hospital in Bethesda. And I donate a lot of money to charity. I raise a lot of money. But I felt like just giving money to a charity isn't that in and of itself has left me very, it's kind of an empty feeling.
Right.
Like I wanted to do more. So I'm really into fitness. I love teaching. And I decided, what if I got together a bunch of wounded veterans who are athletes and we promote the power of fitness? So I started something called the Tough Team. And Tough is spelled T-U-F. And we want to encourage veterans to take up fitness. So I had a bunch of athletes, and I brought these athletes to an event in St. Simons Island, Georgia. And the event happened to be Heroes for Horton, and it was being organized and run by David Sharp and Companions for Heroes. So I bring on all these wounded veterans. These guys are all amputees, arm amputees, leg amputees, guys that are struggling with depression, but they've used fitness to recover and to continue to recover. And at the event, I met David, and we hit it off, and he told me that there was a need for improved direction with his charity, and I offered to help. So about October of 2015, I offered to come in as the executive director to help with his charity, kind of how we got started.
That's nice.
Yeah, and actually at the event, one of those guys at the event was Michael Gallardo.
Oh.
And so at the time, he did not have a dog. But he was an athlete, and he was somebody that we were paying for to go to competitions and bring him around to tell his story, share his story, and how important fitness is. And it just so happened that he was looking for a dog, and he ended up getting a dog, but the dog needed training. And so we ended up, helping him with his training. And this is kind of a common story. We find that the dogs help get the veterans into fitness, or we find that veterans who are, in the recovery process with fitness also end up needing dogs. So it's a pretty good marriage.
We're going to get to Michael's story in a little bit because his story is absolutely remarkable. You have to hear it for yourself. But before we get into that, how many dogs do you have besides the dogs that are solely for veterans?
First responders. So
okay.
We also do police officers. I was a police officer, and police officers don't get quite the charity support that veterans do.
Right.
Yeah, I remember one time I was with my wife, and I was out in public, and I have a shaved head. I guess I look like a veteran, and somebody came up to me and shook my hand. I was like, hey, what branch did you serve? I just want to thank you for your service. I said, actually, I'm a police officer. And he took his hand away and said, you know what? Never mind. And walked away.
Oh.
And so I'm actually really, really proud that Companions for Heroes also helps police officers, because there's a lot of guys, doing CPR on a child and
right.
going into domestic violence and a car accident where people die. And we see that every day for 25 years, and nobody ever thinks PTSD in a police officer. That's part of your
right.
job. You should handle it. So I'm pretty happy that we also help police officers.
Now, is it just dogs? Do you have dogs and cats? What do you have?
I have not helped a cat in the time that I have been there. Like, we do allow it. I just think that by and large, dogs happen to be the route that most people come to us from at any given time. Like right now, I think we're helping 48 veterans as we speak, all over the country.
Okay.
And we get about almost an application a day. In general, I would say maybe 200, 250 dogs a year we're pairing with veterans or police officers all over the country.
Now, how long does it take to train an animal?
Depends. It's interesting. So I think I was kind of naive to this or ignorant to this before I came on, but people think service dog. Actually, coming into this building, I could tell the security guys were like, hey, they asked Michael, hey, is that a service dog? And probably because they look at him and they think, they don't know he's an amputee because he's got pants on.
But
even still,
matter.
But I think most people think of a service dog as somebody who's blind, somebody who's
right,
deaf,
right.
is somebody that, these physical tasks. And, I think prior to, 9/11 and prior to this sustained combat that we've been in, that was normal. But what I'm getting now is I'm getting a lot of veterans that call me and they say, look, I'm afraid to be in public. I have trouble talking to people. I go to somewhere where there's a lot of people, like a mall during Christmas, and somebody walks up behind me and it freaks me out. Or on July 4th, we hear fireworks and we want to be empathetic and sympathetic to those veterans. And dogs are a great way to help that veteran deal with that. It's like if you've ever been invited to a party and you didn't know anybody, and I don't know if I want to go, I don't know anybody, it's just so awkward, it's so uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
They get to bring somebody to the party all the time. And that somebody they bring, isn't it great when you bring somebody that's popular? A dog is always popular.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they bring that veteran to the veteran brings that dog to the party, and it's like suddenly every wall comes down. Everybody wants to be your friend and they want to talk to you, and it's like it's a great way to get past that social anxiety. So to get back to your question, how long does it train? We primarily deal with that type of service dog. So it's a dog for anxiety issues in public, right? And that training is significantly less time and expensive and cost, because we don't have to train the dog to open a door We need to train the dog to be with the veteran, to be, you know, to meet the laws for, you know, ADA laws for public compliance. They need to be really well behaved. They need to be able to alert when somebody comes nearby. But the training is significantly less difficult. So we're looking at anywhere from 6 to 10, sometimes 12 weeks, and maybe half or even third the cost of a more typical service dog training.
Now, do you breed the dogs, or do you go to a breeder, and are they specific breeds that you like to take?
So the great thing with, you know, public anxiety is that the dog really just needs to be very well behaved. It needs to be in tune to the owner. So it allows the veteran the freedom of choosing essentially any dog it falls in love with. Now, our charity specifically only uses rescue or shelter dogs. So we don't use, there's nothing, I have two dogs that were bred at my house, but the charity was founded on the principle that we would save two lives, you know, the
right.
dog in the shelter and the veteran who needed the companion. So any breed is fine as long as the veteran falls in love with them. And as far as, you know, the shelters, we get applications from all over the country. Mike's from Texas. So we try to find a local shelter to that veteran so that they can fall in love with a local dog. Yeah, it worked out. It works out very well.
We have an incredible story from Michael
yes.
Gallardo. He is a retired Army sergeant. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk to Michael, and he's going to tell us a little bit about his story and how he got involved with Companions for Heroes. This is Nash Matters with Tiffany Marie on Nash FM 94.7.
If you'd like your organization or charity featured on Nash Matters, contact us through our website at nashfm947.com. And thank you for listening to Nash Matters on New York's Nash FM 94.7.